Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine a year where we don't review The Room, but we do review the blaxploitation equivalent of The Room.
Oh, what year is that, Sandro?
It's 1975, Zach.
Jazzy. Yeah, I'm walking down the street. How's it going, everybody? I don't know where I am. Is this a dream sequence? Am I in a coma? Who
Bonk.
Knows? Ow! What the heck was that?
You didn't see anything, nothing. Keep walking.
No, okay. I'm still walking. I'm still walking. I felt like I got hit on the head there.
Bonk!
Ow!
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, geez. People are very aggressive in this town.
Fucking hold the microphone.
Jeez. I think there's some production issues here with this episode. I don't know.
Nah, keep going. You're fine.
Okay, okay. I'm walking. Line?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Bonk.
Ah, fuck.
Hello, it's me. I'm the mischievous microphone. I'm the boom mic.
Oh, my God. The boom mic's talking to me and aggressively assaulting me.
Bonk.
Ow, fuck. This is going to be the worst production we've ever had on the episode.
I'm the real star of this movie.
Yeah. Well, you seem to appear more than the main character. That's for sure.
Bonk.
Ow. That was a sensual bonk?
I guess. I was kind of doing a...
Bonk!
Zach, actually, it's me. Whoa. I'm the microphone.
Oh, I should have figured that one out. It's you, Sandra, of course. You're messing with me. Why am I recording a blaxploitation as a white person in...
No, you're...
1970s?
You're doing Kiwi-sploitation.
Oh, Kiwi-sploitation.
The amount of exploitation... The amount of exploitation genres, there was blaxploitation, there was Ozploitation.
Oh, I love me some Ozploitation.
I think Razorback is Ozploitation.
Oh, absolutely. Razorback is peak Ozploitation. Crocodile Dundee was just Ozploitation, because it is just like blatant Australian culture, that's it.
Just stereotypes. There was Nazi exploitation. We don't talk about that one.
Yeah.
There was Kiwi exploitation, that's the Hobbit trilogy because it fucked New Zealand cinema forever.
It did. That's kind
ruined
of sad.
Everything. No one has jobs anymore.
Thanks, The Hobbit.
But we're reviewing Dolomite. Today.
Dolomite! Oh, Dolomite. Oh, Dolomite.
Had you heard of this before?
I have heard of it. I've never seen it. I didn't really know anything. I knew the name.
Okay.
My uncle had seen it.
Yeah.
Which I found surprising. I was just like, oh yeah, I'm going to see this. And he was like, oh yeah, I went to some shitty film festival where they showed this. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. In New Zealand. So there you go.
Oh, in New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
So that was rather amusing that a family member had seen this one. I knew nothing about this going in.
Okay.
And I went in and I was like, oh, it's this. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing this week.
It is it's a movie.
Is this the first like bad film we've watched?
No.
Not like awful. I would say Frogs is worse than bad, you know?
Frogs is genuinely bad. You it's mean like just, funny bad?
Yeah, like just kind of bad at what it's trying to do. And it's kind of funny.
Plan 9 from Outer Space came close.
That's true. That yeah.
That was so bad it's good.
This is pretty so bad it's good.
Definitely.
This is like The Room. But I like, on the solid, like, bad scale, I think this is my solid just bad. Mm-hmm. There's not, like, bad but, there's bad things. It's just kind of bad, but of course it's so bad it's good.
It's a bad movie, but it's hilarious.
Oh, it's absolutely hilarious. It's very hilarious.
Funny. Although, I had no idea what the fuck was going on most of the time. Because
I could follow it.
There were definitely plot lines that I could follow, but just like random stuff would pop out of nowhere, and I'd be like, "Wait, what is this? Who's this?" We'll get into it more in spoilers.
Everyone's favorite character, the burger pimp.
Yeah, I'm like the whole thing with him. I don't know where that really went, but I also have a pretty good idea where it went.
Yeah, I think the writing was actually not as bad as I thought, but it was just the poor execution of said writing really hurt this film.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you vaguely knew about this going into it, but hadn't seen anything.
No, I didn't really know anything about it.
The only thing I knew about it was I've seen the biopic about the making of this movie.
Yeah. Now that's what I'm curious about. Like, what are the details? Because this was wild. Like, looking at this from a production standpoint, this looked wild.
I don't remember a whole lot because it came out like 5 years ago and I haven't seen it since then. But yeah, Dolomite Is My Name is that movie. I think it's actually written by the guys who wrote Ed Wood, which is the biopic about the guy who made Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Right.
So they
well,
they have
a connection. Yeah. There's a connection right there.
But yeah, Eddie Murphy plays the main guy, whose name is Rudy Ray Moore. He was a comedian, singer, actor, director-ish.
Slam poet.
In many ways, he's considered the godfather of rap. Because in the 70s, he got popular for doing rhyming poetry that was really rude.
Ah, okay, yeah, there you go. Well, we sort of saw this here, where he does, like, sort of slam poetry in places. Would you call that slam poetry? I wasn't sure if I was mislabeling that.
I would say I haven't seen enough slam poetry to know.
Yeah.
But I always leave whenever slam poetry starts, so I don't know.
That seems like a fair reaction. I'm going to call it slam poetry. And if anybody has, one, watched Dolomite, and two, knows slam poetry, can correct me, please do.
Yeah, no, please do. But yeah, like, he didn't invent rap, but he had a hand in its creation.
Yeah. You like, could see his sort of influence.
Yeah.
His spitting fat rhymes.
I loved his one about the Titanic. That was great. Yeah. That was a great, like, 5 minute long.
Yeah. That was an interesting intro sort of bit thing. I actually liked the monkey one. I thought that was more simple. Maybe because I liked it was because it was more simple, like basic metaphor sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, he got popular for that, and then he was like, I want to make movies, and it's the 70s, and Zach, as we have been seeing this year, anyone can fucking make movies at the moment. Yeah, so he wrote-ish and produced this. I think he came up with the story and then got someone else to write it.
Oh, okay.
But then he also plays Dolomite,
which
is a character he came up with. That's basically just him, except he's also a pimp. That's the only difference.
So it's his self-insert OC.
Yeah. And then he got a director in who wasn't a director, he's just an actor.
Oh, okay.
Who'd been in a bunch of movies in the 70s to direct it, and then he also plays the bad guy, so...
Ah, which bad guy? The
main bad guy, Willie Green.
Willie Green, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Willie Green was pretty good. I liked Willie Green.
And in Dolomite Is My Name, he's played by Wesley Snipes from Blade, and it's so good.
He's
incredible as the director, who just doesn't care.
Oh, yeah,
he didn't care, and I think Ruby Ray Moore ended up directing most of this.
Yeah, that's fair. Wow.
Or he was so picky that he wouldn't let the director direct, and he did it himself. I don't know which one.
Oh, yeah,
which
yeah,
case.
Yeah,
that's yeah like, what
wild.
Happened?
That's wild.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just gonna throw it out, I feel like the ending, they gave up on Dolomite being the main character, and they just went with the other guy.
The other cop guy, yeah.
Who could act.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. I don't know, because listening to the behind the scenes is kind of wild that they were doing these sort of things.
Mm.
So it maybe it was shot after.
I don't know.
I think that sounds more likely, as they were shot after to sort of extend that ending.
Yeah.
Because it didn't feel like it ended like 15 minutes into that ending.
I think so. I don't remember a whole lot of the biopic. I was going to rewatch it, but just didn't have time, unfortunately. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think there were just so many production issues.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, you could tell.
So many.
I mean, we saw the boom mics on screen. Like, I'm not going to disagree with you there.
No, definitely. And
how many boom mics did we see? Did you spot?
There was... fuck.
I think I saw three.
I would say four or five.
Four or five, wow. Okay.
And that was me not really paying attention to them a lot of the time. Like,
so I definitely saw three different ones.
Yeah.
Like, and an elbow.
You saw an elbow. That
yeah, right funny. Right at the end there, I showed Sandro that not only was there a boom mic on screen, but someone else's elbow was in shot for like 5 seconds.
There was scenes where people were talking over each other. Like,
oh, yeah.
They would jump on each other's lines accidentally. There was... one random scene, what was it? Oh yeah, there's a bunch of moments when the gate of the camera isn't completely open, so that there's like a random line on the top of the screen.
Yeah,
and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I saw that in the last shot as well. They had one of those. I was like, ooh, that is funny. Rough.
But this turned out to be, you know, a pretty big hit. This did really well. Obviously, all the white critics hated this, but
yeah, of course.
This played in the grindhouse-ish cinemas, in the smallest cinemas, and it did really well. And
you can see this as a cult following. This is
definitely
so bad it's good. You know, it's your film festival.
Yeah,
it ticks all the boxes. You
definitely,
know?
And you know, it went on to make. There's a bunch of sequels. There's a whole bunch of sequels to this.
Mm.
So, you know, he did pretty well for himself.
I'm just going to throw it out here at the start. Is blaxploitation racist?
Not if it's made by black people.
Right, yeah. Because that's what I was thinking about it. Because every time we've said blaxploitation, because it's exploitation of black, right? That sounds racist.
That's
but
what
it's,
it is, yeah.
It's Well, it's not so much, right?
A lot of the time, like, the exploitation genres, I guess, they're usually made by people who they're exploiting themselves. But it's more just, like, all of the cliches of this particular group of people are in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's mostly self-aware, I would say.
Because if I made an Australian movie, it would be Ozploitation, you know.
It is interesting. Well, yeah, I think, like, well, Quentin Tarantino has made a bunch of...
That's true.
Blaxploitation
movies. Yeah, and I love Django. I think Django's...
Yeah, but also I'm like, but Quentin Tarantino is white. What are you doing making these movies?
Yeah,
the whole
yeah.
reason these movies were good was because they weren't made by white people.
He's getting actresses to show their feet. That's why he's
making these movies.
That's the sole reason, as everyone knows.
You got a good point. But anyway, what else is there to say about this movie? The soundtrack goes off. I love the soundtrack.
Oh, actually... Genuinely, I think the soundtrack was definitely the best part of this movie.
Yeah, the theme song as well is excellent.
Yeah, right at the start where they hit that, I was like, oh, hell yeah. And we had the fight scene near the end where there's this sort of your typical jazz sort of bow, tick, bow. I love that. Yep. That was really good.
Yep.
I think all the music, spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Could be in a 2023/24 production.
I would agree with that, definitely. What else? The fighting is pretty funny.
Yeah. We have a lot of choreographed, like, hits that clearly don't hit.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And, like, the sound effects as well.
Yeah, yep.
Where you can see that they clearly just missed the
person's
face.
Yeah, missed the person.
That was good.
I loved right at the start, you had these shots where it's like you've got three people in the room.
Yeah.
And then people are reading the lines and it's slightly different audio. And then we have a zoomed up, close up of a person reading the line with clearly no one else in the room.
Yes. That happens a lot.
Probably because, as you said, they were reading other people's lines and speaking over other people.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a bunch of, yeah, like, cases where someone will start to say a line, but they haven't realized that the other person's line is finished.
Yeah, yeah.
So they say, a syllable.
So what I think they've
stop.
Done is they've cut a lot of that and then done separate shots where they do a zoom close-up.
Yeah.
And whenever that happens, they would have cut someone off like that.
Yeah.
I loved, particularly in that scene, there was, a woman where she's there to pick up Dolomite, yes. Queen Bee.
Yeah.
And she's talking, and then they do a zoom up, and she's got tears pouring down her face.
and then they
zoom out again, and she has no tears at all.
That was very funny.
It was... Mwah.
That was the moment when I was like, it's one of these movies. Yeah.
The continuity wasn't quite there.
That was good.
Even in that one scene, there was three different audios that played for their lines. And the police chief or whatever he was, had far worse audio than the other two actors.
Yep.
I was like, mwah, this is beautiful.
Yep, yep. It is. It's excellent. It's so good. What else is there in this movie? That was good. I think for the most part, the audio is pretty clear, though. More clear than Frogs.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Frogs is definitely worse than this movie. I will say this.
Yep.
Frogs is objectively worse than this movie. And possibly more or less racist.
That's
I'm not
right.
sure.
Just like The Room, there's a bunch of sex scenes in this that's just an excuse for the main actor to see a naked woman in person.
Yeah. Or touch said naked woman in person.
They were always awkward, but it's the 70s.
Good thing I wasn't watching this on the train.
Yes, you were, though.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I think that's a crime. I think that's a crime.
I had to skip some of the sex scenes because I was like, oh, shit. Someone's going to think I'm watching fucking a softcore porno
at 11 a.m. on Melbourne public
transport.
Honestly,
it happens all the time. I see it every day.
That's true. Wait, what? As in, you're the one watching it or other people are watching it?
I'll let the audience decide on that one.
I do know what train line you're on, so...
The acting.
We can get to the acting, definitely.
The acting is bad. But, with the exceptions, there's two or three actors in the film. The black cop, who's kind of the main character at the end of the film.
Yeah, the FBI guy who takes over.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's great.
He's
I think
really
all the scenes, his acting is actual acting.
Yeah.
The Reverend's pretty good as well.
I liked
the Reverend.
Reverend Gibbs.
Yeah, so there's a scene where both of them are in it.
Yeah.
And for a brief moment, the movie is a movie with actors acting.
It's true.
And I went, whoa, I felt that. It was a change in the wind where there was acting taking place and I was in a film and I was there and I went, whoa, that was almost pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Dolomite or something and I'm like, oh, all right, we're back.
Look, it's telling that the best scenes where he's on screen are the ones where he's doing his poetry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's good at that.
Oh, yeah, he's really good at that, actually. You are right. You are right.
And this is his first movie. I'm sure he gets better in later movies.
Oh, absolutely. And there were some scenes you could see, whenever he says motherfucker, he slams that down.
He's
he was
good.
Ready. Right at the start of the film, he's talking normally with these cops. It's like, hey, I'm going to get you, you motherfucker. And I'm like, whoa. Suddenly he puts big emphasis on it. You know?
He's great. I like him in this movie. I like his presence in this movie.
Mm.
He's very low key the whole time.
He's super
face
low key.
Is giving nothing.
Yeah.
The whole
movie. It kind of works though in a
I
way.
Like it.
He's kind of stone cold.
Yeah.
You know? He's emotionless. You know.
I like him a lot. The guy who directed it, who plays Willie Green, he's fine.
Yeah, Willie Green. That was the third one that I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
But he doesn't actually get so much screen time.
I liked the mayor, but he had no volume control. He kept peeking the microphone.
Yeah, that's true. The mayor did his job. He is the Danny DeVito.
Yes.
Now,
he definitely is.
When we're recasting this, we haven't used Danny DeVito
in
a while, Sandro.
We can put him in this, definitely.
I I know we're skipping to the remake, but he's literally butt naked on screen at one point after banging his wife and the other chick. So, like, I feel like Danny DeVito's just the perfect vibe.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so.
We did have the karate strippers, which was pretty fun.
Yeah, so, not to get too much into the plot, but in this movie, Dolomite is... He is a comedian. He is a...
Pimp.
He runs a club.
Yes.
But he's a pimp for a bunch of sex workers... Who know karate?
Karate sex workers. Karate sex workers. They'll fuck your dong and chop it in half.
Which is like, yeah. Well, there is a scene where I think one of them does cut a dick off.
Oh, does it? Oh, my God.
There's that one, like, with the knife, and she's always just, like, using her knife and just, incredibly long sequences.
That's true. Yeah.
Very funny. That was very funny. I liked how they all knew karate. It was good fun.
Some wood in half.
It was indeed. It was good fun. I don't think there's a whole much left to mention before we get into non-spoilers. I should say that, yeah, the appearances of the boom mics and the gates not being completely open, all that stuff, that is an accident. When they released this on VHS, they released the wrong version. They didn't crop it right.
Oh.
Because usually you crop that stuff out.
Yes.
But they did not do that on the release of this. Which led to even more so bad its goodness.
Nice. Because
you could see all the boom mics. So that kind of became the way to watch it.
Yeah, the version.
Oh, absolutely. Correctly.
You've got to have those boom mics and those elbows and whatever else is happening.
Exactly.
It's like that Pirates of the Caribbean watch guy, you know. Mm. It adds to it, you know. Definitely. The stormtrooper that... bumps his head, you know.
You need to leave that in.
Where they literally added a sound effect in later editions because
bumped it so
because good. It's so iconic.
Dear me. But aside from that, I think we may as well move on to spoilers.
Yep.
Is this an old Euro goodie, Zach? I'm going to you first because I don't know.
Wow. You're looking to me. You're looking for a lifeline here. You're like, I don't know whether to give it. Well, it's so bad, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is the interesting bit, because I think this is just a bad film, right?
Yeah, it is bad.
But I have stated in the past
that
if I would suggest this to someone,
that
I would rate this a goodie.
Yes.
Would I suggest this to someone? I'm still not sure.
I'm not sure.
Would you suggest this to someone, Sandra? Would you play it at a party in the background? I feel like I would play it at a party at the background, for sure.
I feel like I'd go and see this with a group of people again.
Then again, it does have sex scenes, so...
That's fine. There's not that many.
I'm not inviting my mum to this party.
That's fair. Your uncle will come, though.
Yeah. He'll be like, oh, not this shit again.
I don't know, because I feel like... I wouldn't recommend this to friends if I wasn't there to watch it with them
because I want to
see their reaction, but I also don't want to watch this again.
To be fair, I would suggest Morbius to people.
That's true.
Because I have watched Morbius with a group of friends.
And I would say Morbius is just bad, not so bad.
Yeah. It's a tricky one, Sandra.
I don't know. I think there might be other Ruby Ray Moore movies that I would recommend to people. I don't know, there's one where he plays the devil that I really want to watch.
This film really dragged for me.
Oh,
it was very long.
It's only like 80 minutes, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it felt long. It really drags its feet the whole time. I'm going to rate it a goodie.
Okay. All right.
I would inflict this on someone, but this is really the lowest point for goodies I think I've ever.
All right. A goodie from Zach. Well, in that case, to even the score,
give it an oldie. But I feel like there's some sort of like credit where credit's due. This is so bad it's good. This is
definitely so bad it's good. It's just
I would watch this again.
I would.
Yeah.
In like 5-10 years.
Exactly, right? Whereas I don't think I ever want to watch Frogs ever again in my life. I hate that film. That's a massive oldie.
Yeah, right?
So if I can say with fervor that I would watch this again, I have to give this a goodie.
Okay.
I have to throw a goodie at this. I feel dumb for throwing a goodie at this because this was a fucking terrible movie. But I'm gonna stand by it. I gave this film a goodie. Boom. Okay.
I think this movie's fun. There's a lot of good stuff in it. It's very funny.
You know what?
I would watch it again, but I think I'd watch his other movies first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was nowhere near as drunk as I needed to be for this film.
Oh, absolutely.
I needed, like...
Yeah.
I needed to sneak a couple of long necks onto the train, you know?
This is a midnight movie.
Yeah, this is
a late night, yeah, sort of movie.
Absolutely.
And both of us watched it in the morning.
Yeah. So.
I'm gonna go oldie, but just to even the score, it's pretty funny though.
It's pretty funny. We need to add this to our our one-time movie marathon where we get the best and worst films we've watched.
Scared like, want to watch them? Yeah,
15-year special. You know?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Sally McSeller, and as an American, I love when horror franchises come to my hometown of New York City. And oh boy, is that what the Friday the 13th franchise did? Yes, yes it is. In Jason Takes Manhattan, which is number 8, and Sandro and Zach from Oldie But a Goodie have gone and bloody reviewed it. Why did I say bloody? I'm an American. Anyway, here is a clip for your ear holes. They all escape the boat. They get in a life raft. They go to New York. And Jason, he follows them the whole way. Now, Zach, do you think that Jason swam or did he walk across the bottom of the ocean like Pirates of the Caribbean?
I imagine he had like a boat above him and he's doing the exact scene from Pirates of the Caribbean where he like walked underwater but with a boat for oxygen
on top of him. Yes. While yes, Jason doesn't spend that much time in New York in the movie Jason Takes Manhattan, I do have to say that there is some good New York action in there, and the boys really did a damn good job reviewing it. And you can get that episode over at patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod with one bonus episode a month and all the ad-free episodes of the main show that you can swing your American-loving hat at. That's right. I'm an American, and I'm from New York. Lore drop. Woohoo! All right, let's get into bloody spoilers. Oh my
fucking god. Let's crack into them.
That's a milk drink. You can't... No, I'm not letting you trick the audience into thinking you're drinking alcohol.
I'm so cool, Sandro. I'm drinking beverages on the show. Am I not cool and hip with the kids?
You're drinking mango milk you bought from some Asian superstore near me.
Don't tell them I'm drinking mango milk. I'll lose all my street cred, Sandro.
I think you'll gain it, honestly. You're gaining street cred.
That's true. They're like, damn, mango milk? That shit slaps.
All right.
You got Dolomite.
He's in jail.
He's a pimp.
Yeah.
He goes to jail because he's been set up. He was set up.
He's been set up with coke.
Coke.
In his car.
Yep.
And random furs, except they might be his, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what the furs was about. That's never explained.
There's two cops and they have it out for him.
Yeah.
They want him in jail.
They're corrupt cops.
They're corrupt cops because they work for Willie Green?
Yeah, no, they work for the mayor, I think.
Oh, they work for the mayor.
Yeah, they work for the mayor directly.
Yeah.
Which is working with Willie Green. They're working side by side with him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he goes to jail. So Willie Green takes over his club.
He takes over his club.
Which is the whole plot thing. That's why Willie Green wanted to help them get his club.
He needs to get his club back.
The police chief frees Dolomite because none of the, drug trade stopped when...
Oh, yeah.
When things get out, which is a fair point to
That's
make.
That's a pretty good point.
It's like, we put this person in jail for being the crime boss and literally none of the crime stopped.
None of the crime stopped. Huh. In fact, I think he says the line, guns and dope are being sold to school children everywhere. Nothing stopped.
Yeah, if he had said just, kids, you know, that could have been teenagers, that could be whatever.
No.
But no, he specified school children. I was like, whoa!
Well, because Dolomite's nephew has been shot on the street randomly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that comes up once
Schools are so much more fun nowadays, you know?
Yeah, all these school kids have
with
guns.
Guns and cocaine.
There's so many great quotes at the start of this.
Oh, yeah.
I liked, when he's getting released, Queen Bee is there, who kind of, was running the club in his absence.
Yeah, she is the queen bee.
She's the queen bee. We don't know if she's his mum or just an older lady. He calls her mum in one scene, but she's like, "Oh, Dolomite, I'm so happy." Like she's crying.
Yeah, crying.
But she's not crying. But yes. Then we cut to another shot and she's just like smiling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so funny.
That was the scene I mentioned, yeah, where she has just tears in one scene and none in the next.
That was good. Oh, I liked the scene where we flash back to him getting arrested.
Yeah.
And the lion is like, "There's nothing in my trunk. I don't know what this stuff is." And the FBI is like, "Well, we are the FBI. This is my search warrant."
Yes.
I was like, "For the car?"
Yeah. Because, Dolomite asked, "Where's your search warrant today?" "This is my search warrant."
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff. It's great stuff. Yeah.
But anyway, he gets released. We get the opening credits with the banging soundtrack. Oh,
absolute slap-a-doo-dad banging soundtrack.
I love that song. I think they remastered that song for the biopic as well. I think it's on Spotify.
Oh, that's pretty. Yeah. That's pretty hype. Then he gets out, mm-hmm. and so people are like, "Hey, it's Dolomite," you know.
Well, not just any people, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
All the people who come to pick him up. All those women.
Oh, yes. The...
All the women and the one white one.
Yep.
Which is very funny. He's the butt of a lot of jokes.
Yeah. They have a token white hoe. And what is it? He has the suit they gave him to release from prison. But but his girls bring him a better suit, like a pimp suit.
Yeah.
Instead of just a regular suit. And he like throws it back at the guards. It's like, "Wipe your ass with that." And the guard gets a good line. He's like, "Ah, nah, we'll keep it for when you're back."
Yeah.
And they got some banter going.
There's a lot of borderline, like, not necessarily homophobia in this movie, but, like, men seeing other men naked and being like, "Oh my, I wish I didn't see that." Because, like, he strips down in front of the guards to get into his suit.
Oh, yeah.
We cut to all the guards being like, what the fuck, I didn't sign up to look at this.
Yeah, well, Sandro, if your job was a guard and you were standing around and then you released a prisoner and they started stripping in front of the jail.
I mean, it's true.
With a bunch of girls dressing also, it up. You'd probably be a little uncomfortable, be like, "What the fuck is going on?"
I would be, but there is the scene where Willie Green is walking through a brothel and it happens again. He keeps walking into rooms and seeing guys' butts.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch
of... And it's like, "Oh, fuck, what the fuck is
this?" He keeps peeking in to see what people are doing and we get shots of people banging.
It's
I'm
a
like,
brothel, what the fuck did you expect?
Well, yeah, what did you expect? Stop sticking your nose in other people's business.
What was the fucking guy getting like a blowjob with like a tanning?
Yeah.
That was very funny.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, we should mention, this movie isn't graphic. There's a bit of nudity.
Yeah.
It's not a very graphic film.
You get a bit of tatas. You get a bit of titties. Yeah. You know, and then there's a lot of, like, soft core, like, sex scenes where people are, like, groping at each other. But it isn't, you know.
No.
There's no schlongs on screen.
There almost is a schlong on screen.
They're almost.
But they don't go for it, which is a bit of a shame. I wanted to see that man's dick. I wanted to see it.
Oh, no. They did good with that. I like a bit of cheeks, you know.
Yeah.
A bit of mare cheeks.
Oh, we get a lot of mare cheeks in this movie.
That's very funny to me.
It was good. Although, yeah, like, he dresses up in the suit, gets back in the car, and then just takes his clothes off when he's in the car with all the women. And I'm like, "You just put those clothes on."
Yeah.
What are you doing, Dolomite? This is not efficient. Just leave them on.
That is a funny point. But I think the point is that he put on the suit in front of the guards.
Yeah.
To be like, "Hey, look at me." In front of the other prisoners as well, to kind of showing off, you know.
Yeah.
But yes, he does get get undressed, put on a suit, and then immediately when he's in the car, he starts undressing because they're banging.
It's very funny.
But their banging gets interrupted.
Oh my God, by the bad guys. They're chasing him.
Yep. So, while they're driving, Dolomite gets out of the car.
Well, he doesn't just get out of the car. He's like, hand me my gun. And then he gets out of the car.
And then the bad guys pull up to the car.
Yep.
They're like, "Get out of the car, Dolomite. We got you. We're going to kill you." And then they're like, "Well, Dolomite isn't here." And he's like, "What? She's not lying. Where's Dolomite?" And he's like, "Here I am."
That's right, he's got a massive gun, he guns them all down. Yeah. And then all his karate girls, they karate the fuck out of all of them as well. That was the scene where he's like, I think he's like, you gotta dance for me.
Oh my god, that scene was so bad. The guy starts dancing before the shots go off. And he doesn't dance at all to the rhythm.
No.
And they make a joke. They go, this guy's dancing. Oh, man, this white boy's got rhythm. And I'm like, no, he doesn't.
He's not even dancing in rhythm.
It is like zero shots because they're clearly like little like firecrackers or something going off make little explosions of dirt.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he was firing blanks or if there was just something planted in the dirt.
I think there was something planted in the dirt that or would something make more that they sense, set off.
Because it wasn't matching up with the gun.
No, it wasn't matching up with anything. There was like an audio track that it didn't match up with.
Yeah.
It was his dancing that it didn't match up with. It was a wild scene, and then they just shoot the guy anyway. I'm like, oh, come on, you made the guy dance. Yep. Don't shoot him. Don't make him dance, then shoot him. That doesn't endear me to your main character.
Yeah. We get a random scene where Queen Bee is telling Dolomite why all his girls now know karate, and then we get a flashback to one of...
And that his club's now owned by Willie Green.
That as well, yeah. Oh, and also one of his girls is working for Willie Green.
Yeah.
Nothing comes of that.
No, because that's the girl that picks him up.
Oh, okay. I think.
Is the one that's said to be working for Willie Green. Yeah, it's a hard movie to follow.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that's the one that picks him up who's also banging the mayor. Because
she's the sleeper agent, and she's been waiting for the mayor to reveal who he's working for so that she can kill him.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because her whole thing is, like, she said she's trying to move up in the world.
Yeah.
And by move up in the world, it's banging richer people.
Yeah.
But as we see later on, she's kind of sleeper agent, figuring out who's the real killer.
She was sleeper agent. Sleeper agent. Yeah. I like the scene where she's not to be crude. She's bloody eating out the mayor's belly button. That was a funny scene.
Oh my god. You gotta skip that on the train, that's for sure.
I'm like, I know what they're trying to imply here, but that her head's on his belly button. That was very fun. I was laughing at that.
Yeah.
I was laughing
at that. It's very funny.
It is very good. Yeah, we get the flashback where one of the sex workers is like, "Where's my money, Joe?" And that scene is sampled in a rap song that I'm a big fan of.
Oh.
I had no idea that it was from this movie. So that was very funny. But yeah, like, we're meant to see her beat up this guy who won't pay her.
Yeah.
Except we don't. We see her confront him, and then we cut to after she's beaten him.
And I'm like,
where's the karate to show us why they know karate?
They did do a jump cut for that karate scene.
Yeah.
Where she just kind of kicks him out. We don't see very much of the karate girls do karate. We see like
we
one
see
or two.
Training.
We see them training, and then at the last bar fight at the club, right, where everyone gets shot, all the men,
yes,
who are Dolomite's men, get beat up. But all the women kick ass.
Yes.
Which I was like, hell yeah.
Which is pretty good. You get a bunch of sex scenes. They're really awkward. It's just kissing and shirtless ladies. But,
and groping.
They were awkward because I was like, I know that you wrote, produced, and pretty much directed this.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing. But that was kind of funny.
I don't know what you mean. I'm Adam Sandler, and my wife is super hot.
You know what?
Is the hottest.
This has been happening for years. This is true.
I want my life goal, if I can, is to be Adam Sandler. Just Adam Sandler.
You just want to be Adam Sandler.
And direct movies where I make my own wife the hottest actress.
Well, he's not doing that anymore, though.
That's true.
He's not doing that anymore. He's got a new movie, Spaceman. It's a drama. It's a drama.
He's a serious boy drama.
That's right. And in the movie, he's dating Carrie Mulligan from the Doctor Who episode Blink. Oh, he's doing it again.
He got you again, Sandra.
He's doing it again.
He got you again.
Bloody Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler always wins.
One of the funniest scenes in the movie for me is at the church. It's the first scene at the church where we're introduced to the Reverend. And he's giving a, like, really political...
He's not even giving a sermon. No,
he's just giving a political speech. And then the white cops come in and he's...
It's the most generic speech, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, he's instantly like, and that's why you've got to love your mom.
Again, Reverend, kind of great, kind of
He is the funniest character in the movie.
Because the Reverend's running this gun smuggling operation.
Yes.
But he's like a separate entity almost itself, because it's never revealed that... I don't think he works for Willie or... Dolomite. I don't think he works for either. I think he's his own entity.
Well, because he's confronted by Willie at some point and he doesn't help him.
Yeah, he doesn't help him. He does help Dolomite.
He does help Dolomite.
But probably just because he doesn't like Willie Green.
That's what I thought was happening, yeah.
But yeah, he's the one who's doing the gun smuggling. Because we see he has like some crates of guns at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when... late into the film when Dolomite comes in, he has some guns just in a coffin in the morgue area where they're talking.
He doesn't just have guns. He's got people pretending to be dead
The morgue scene is one of the best scenes in the film,
I think. That was really, really well thought out. Like, an actual pretty good scene.
I think we could save it till later, though.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I just realized this is technically a crime comedy.
Yeah.
And I famously don't like crime comedies.
That's true.
Not famously don't like them. I find them boring.
You think that all people who like them are bad, stupid, and ugly.
That's true. I remember those words.
You said those
words. I did say that in our Renfield episode. I did say that. That's true.
You said everyone involved with Renfield is just ugly, not just on the outside, but on the inside.
On the inside, too. That's right.
Yeah.
And this is technically a crime comedy, and the reason why I didn't like this movie is because it was bad, not because it was a crime comedy.
Hey, there you go.
I actually like the crime comedy stuff in this.
Boom.
Very interesting.
I, on the other hand, think... all the people involved in Renfield are beautiful people.
That's right. And you're going to watch Beverly Hills Cop 4 when it comes out in a couple months.
I guess.
You're going to watch it. You will watch it. We've seen all three. We've got to do it.
Could I take back my words?
I don't want to watch it. We've got to.
We got to watch it, Sandra. We got to watch it.
We'll do a 10-minute Patreon episode.
Hey, Sandra. Maybe you'll be good. Right.
Good joke, Zach.
Yeah, that's the best comedy I've made all podcast.
I think after that is the hamburger pimp scene.
Hamburger pimp. So hamburger pimp is just one of my favorite characters, hamburger pimp.
He's a meth
addict. Also known as creepy.
Creeper, yeah.
Creeper, that's it. He is a drug addict. That's all his thing is. And he like... swindles some chick out of a burger because she's a retail worker, and I have never related more to a character where it's just like, just take the fucking burger.
I'll lose $4.
Like, exactly. Like, that is, I have been there before. I've given people a water bottle just to be like, can you leave?
For
you
sure. Know? Why not?
Like, yeah, just don't tell my boss.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Nah, he'd be like, oh, I've given way more than that.
Probably.
Yeah, where it's just like this one person who's taking forever because they're trying to wheel and deal and whatever. And like, I need to serve three more people after you.
Just
take it and leave.
Yeah.
It's worse for us if you're just here. Just go away.
So that happens. He gets a hamburger, and then he runs into Dolomite.
And he's like, yeah, Dolomite, yeah. And Dolomite's like, well, if it ain't the hamburger pimp.
At first I was like, are they making a hamburglar joke?
No. I think he's just like colloquially known on the streets as the hamburger pimp.
He's the hamburger pimp.
I'm pretty sure he runs this routine of going to different joints and like scamming them out of hamburgers.
That's right. I did like, after he gets the hamburger, we get a 3-minute long shot of him just walking down the street.
That was so great.
Good fun.
I liked, because this actor is doing this sort of, like, drug addict walk.
Yes.
Or at least what he thinks it is, and he's kind of stumbling around. His eyes are pretty much, like, closed.
Well, he's meant to be a comedy character, I think.
Yeah.
It hasn't aged well, because...
No.
We don't make fun of addicts, But he was... So, Dolomite goes back to his house.
Yeah.
Or where he's currently
staying.
But
I feel like Creeper, he's not a bad guy.
Oh, no,
he's
Creeper's
just an addict.
Yeah,
and
he's fine.
I think this film does him justice where he's like trying to help Dolomite, you know?
Yeah.
But then tragically, when he... what does he tell Dolomite again?
Something about Dolomite's nephew.
Oh, that's right. He explains who shot... he knew that Willie Green had shot Dolomite, right?
Right, yeah.
I think that's what he reveals.
I think that's what he reveals while he's shooting up as well.
Yeah, he's shooting up the whole time and, like, falling asleep.
Yeah, which was
and
wild.
And so Dolomite
scene.
Has to try and wake him up. But then, an attack.
Oh my god, Willie Green's men come running in. We got a fight scene that was fine, I guess.
Yeah. But poor Creeper.
Poor Creeper gets shot or something, right?
No more creeping.
He's gone. Creeper, no more creeping. And Dolomite is sent to jail, but then he's immediately released.
Your burgers are safe now. That's funny, right? Because he gets bailed out by the, as it's revealed later on, the mayor bails him out.
Yeah.
So they can kill him or something?
I think so.
It's never really explained why he bails him out particularly.
And that was the moment when Dolomite's like, I'm going to get my club back. I'm going to let them know that Dolomite is my name and fucking up motherfuckers is my game.
Boom! Ooh! Hell yeah, what a line.
I like that line a lot. He says that line maybe 10 times in the biopic film.
Oh, in the biopic? Yeah. Hell yeah.
It's in there so much, which is very
That's
good.
Funny.
And so, yeah, he gets some guns from the Reverend, and he's like, I'm going to put on a show. I'm going to put on a show, and then I'm going to kill Willie Green and get him and everything.
That's right. I liked the Reverend scene because, yeah, they go into the morgue because the Reverend tips him off onto the cocaine trade as a sort of, like, favor sort of thing. But then Dolomite tries to pull a, like, well, I've given you $200. But how about you give them back?
Yeah.
And then the Reverend's like clicks his fingers and the dead bodies in the coffins that they talked about. Oh, it's great because Dolomite examines the dead bodies and then finds the guns in a coffin and is like, I see you've got two dead ones and one live one.
Yeah.
Because there's guns in the coffin. But those dead ones ain't so dead ones, because when the Reverend clicks his fingers, those dead bodies come up with guns and it's like... Better back out, pal.
That was pretty good.
So it was like two crime lords sort of, you know, bumping heads. And it was good.
I love that
scene.
That scene was genuinely really, really well shot and thought out. It was
it was a well-crafted scene. You could see that in a 2023/24 production.
That's right. 2023, because who knows what's going on with the story of the podcast. We don't know what you're wearing right now. That's what the confusion was about.
Mike Homer could be taking 5 minutes.
We're not in a coma. It's time travel. We're time traveling.
What?
Yes.
How is that the more likely situation?
Comas don't exist, Zach. You've been brainwashed by the deep brain state.
The deep brain state.
That's right. I don't know.
Try to trick people into believing that comas exist.
You're not in a coma, you just had your COVID vaccination.
Oh, no!
That's why you feel weird.
Not anti-vax, Sandro. That's way worse than anti-coma, Sandro.
Yeah, that's true. Get vaccinated.
Mm.
So Dolomite puts on a show. This scene's hilarious because we get like 10 opening acts. It's not 10, it's like 3. But we get a lot of like opening acts. And one of them was great because we get a singer who's meant to be singing live, except her mouth does not match the song.
No, not at all.
Which was very funny.
The song was alright though.
We get the Dolomite dances, which is a bunch of flamboyant men doing like leaps and...
Yeah.
And jumps all
it's
over
kind
the
of
stage.
Like, and of course, we get some more slam poetry.
Yeah, we get slam poetry from Mr. Dolomite.
Where he tells the sort of, in slam poetry style, he tells sort of the parable of the cheeky monkey who teases a lion. And then he baits the lion into fighting an elephant.
Yes.
And the lion gets wrecked. And then the cheeky monkey makes fun of him. But then the cheeky monkey accidentally falls out of the tree and gets...
Exactly. Which was good. I really like his stories.
Yeah.
Because, like, he did one as well about the Titanic and how that was, like...
Yeah, you liked that one a lot.
That one was good as well. They're very funny. The rhymes are really good.
Oh, yeah.
He's swearing constantly through them. It's really... I genuinely want to check out some of his, like, comedy stuff, because...
Yeah, yeah.
They're good. And I think he's got one album that was, And I mentioned the name of it in the movie as an album that Dolemite has released. So I'm like, what's the chronology here? What's happening? Who released what? What's this? And the album is called Eat Out More Often.
There you go.
A sex joke.
Oh, sorry. I didn't get it. Thank you for explaining the joke to me, Sandro. I feel like all jokes are better if you explain them.
That's right. But anyway, Willie Green, he's there at the club. We get a big old fight where literally everyone knows karate. Even the fucking cook knows karate. Yeah,
yeah. Hey, look, I... Honestly, the person I fear most in that situation is the cook, right?
That's right.
Because chefs, don't know if you know, but they have the highest temperature of any person I have ever met. They are 100% anger-fueled.
Yeah. And Dolemite kills Willie Green with a punch to just below his ribs, just like it's the fucking Temple of Doom.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Hey, that liver shot... It can kill. It can kill. It's brutal.
It was good. And Dolemite looked genuinely shaken that he'd killed someone with his bare hand.
Well. Oh, yeah. There was a great shot where he's, like, holding his hand up and his hand is, like, shaking. And I'm like, hey, that's a good shot.
I'm not sure if that was on purpose or what. But that was really... Because then the FBI guy comes in and is like,
damn,
I've got you. That's fine. You killed someone, but whatever, it's fine.
He shoots Willie Green twice.
He does shoot at himself.
Oh, which is great. It's great, because it was. I was not expecting it. I burst out. Because the cop shoots him twice, and so they'll think he died by the shots the guy did. And he's like, oh yeah, I got you. I got you, fam.
Yeah.
I'll shoot him twice. Now they'll think it was me. And then he takes him to the hospital.
Yeah, he takes him to the hospital. And then out of nowhere, we just start getting random shots of the mayor. We're introduced to the mayor. And we're like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, because now this is where Dolemite, because he's sort of taken out after this fight. This is where it switches main character to the cop.
Yeah.
The black cop, FBI agent sort of dude.
FBI agent mayor.
Who goes after the mayor.
Who's played by a... Jerry Jones. Doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Ah, there you go. Well, he was actually really good.
If
I liked
you look
him a lot.
Jerry Jones, the guy who comes up, it's an old white guy who's a businessman who owns the Dallas Cowboys team.
I feel like that's not the same person.
I don't think that's the same guy.
He goes to confront the mayor, but gets assaulted by two guys at the mayor's place.
Oh, yeah.
Where they try and drug him to chuck him in a pool like he overdosed.
Yeah.
But
he beats them up.
Yeah, he beats them up. Meanwhile, the mayor gets a call about Dolemite killing Willie Green, and he's like, well, I'm going to put out a hit on him. I'm going to get him dead, blah, 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 blah. You know, all this stuff.
Yeah, so there's a hit out on Dolemite, and then... And then the mayor is killed by the lady who we mentioned earlier, right?
Well, tries to get killed by the lady.
Because they're in the worst scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Which starts off as a good scene because he's butt naked, walking around, putting out the hit on Dolemite. That was good. But then as soon as she shows up and he attacks her, he just peeks the microphone. It's just too loud. I don't know how to explain it.
I think it's because they're like... He's, like, wrestling her when she's trying to shoot him, right?
Yeah.
And I think they must have knocked the mic into his face or something, so he was constantly...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know, but it hurt my ears.
Yeah, yeah.
That whole scene.
And I think the idea is she gets her comeuppance because she kind of betrayed Dolemite by leaving Queen Bee and other things. Yeah, it's not very clear, but... Unfortunately, she dies because the mayor strangles her.
She dies, and then he's like, I gotta go on the run, there's men chasing me, the FBI guys are chasing me, and so he tries to get away on a plane.
Yeah.
a little plane, and they manage to shoot him just before he gets inside it, but that was very funny.
The him struggling to get into the plane and then getting shot and going, blah, Very funny.
That was good. And then, yeah, men are out to get the contract on Dolomite's head, and that's the last action scene. Weirdly, it's shot in slow-mo.
Oh, yeah, there's a slow-mo, but it's
that
like...
so weird.
I don't know if it's, like, proper slow-mo. They only put in, like, a little slow-mo and got the actors to try and do slow-mo.
Yeah.
Like, the actors go slowly so that they can, like, do slow-mo easier or something.
Yeah.
Because it looked very weird.
It was an odd one.
Lots of mics on the screen.
And an elbow.
And an elbow. Yes, that's the scene with the elbow in it. Yep, yep.
Which was great.
And then the two corrupt cops get caught and captured.
Yes, they are sure they show up and get captured.
And then one of them's like, I should have never followed you. You were the brains of the operation. He did it all. And the other guy's like, I'm not your fucking dad.
Yeah, that was good. And then the movie literally just ends. It ends street corner where the FBI guy's like, Dolomite, I have to shut down your club. What are you gonna do now? Freeze frame, end of movie.
Yeah, but then he like... Dolomite replies, but the reply is the song that's playing the at the end song. Is like, you know what I'm gonna do, is I'm gonna do this and that. Oh my god.
Yeah, and that's Dolomite.
It was so funny. When they just freeze frame and then that was the end of the movie, I was laughing. It was so
weird.
Just abrupt.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So that is... Dolomite is my name. That is Dolomite. Not Dolomite is my name.
Yeah, that's the movie about this movie, Sandro.
Yeah.
And you know what, Sandro?
What?
Good job you for picking this film.
I've always wanted to
watch it. To quote Sandro, good job me.
I did say that on Messenger.
Yeah.
I stand by it. You know what?
Good job me.
We're doing a lot of these sort of movies on the podcast this year because they're fun.
Oh, absolutely. So, this was a good one.
If you don't like them... just unsubscribe.
Whoa!
That's right.
Whoa.
Or come back in, like, September.
That's true.
But anyway. Yeah. It's fun. It's a bad movie. But it's good fun.
It was good fun. Yeah.
So, yeah. There are a bunch of sequels to this, though, Zach.
Whoa! Sequels.
There's the sequel, which was released a year later, called The Human Tornado.
Whoa! Who's the Human Tornado?
Dolomite.
No way! Yeah. Who could have seen that coming?
If you look it up, have a look at the poster.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't do taglines. We'll have to do that right
now.
Oh, yeah.
You get some taglines up. I'll have a look at this poster.
The poster for The Human Tornado is genuinely great. It seems like, he gets himself a mansion, and then there's a bunch of racist cops, and he's gotta kill everyone, and there's a bad sheriff or something. It's pretty much the same movie.
Oh my god, look at this poster! He looks like some sort of, like, military superhero.
Exactly.
Oh my god, that's wild.
It's great.
That's so funny.
So that is the official sequel, and then there's also a quasi-sequel called... Shaolin Dolomite.
Oh, there's your Asian exploitation coming out.
Which is, came out in like the 90s. I don't know anything about it, but, it's another one.
Yep.
It's another one.
Yep.
And yeah, he's got a bunch of other movies, Ruby Ray Moore. The only one that I have seen anything from is called Petey Wheatstraw.
Yeah.
Where he basically plays the character of Dolomite. He's a nightclub comedian who's killed and then resurrected.
Oh.
And then he goes around and he murders people.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
With a magic cane.
Oh, shit.
And I really want to watch that one.
Yeah, that one sounds pretty good. That's very, Ghost Rider.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which we are canonically big fans of.
That's right. But before we get into the remake, it's taglines.
Taglines. Give me some taglines, Sandro.
Bone-crushing, skull-splitting, brain-blasting action.
Whoa, there wasn't much of that in this film.
No. Not a whole lot.
Oh, there was a lot of... There was a few action scenes. I wouldn't call them ball-busting, skull-popping, or whatever it is.
Not really,
you know?
No. Thumb up or thumb down.
Shaky thumb. There was some action.
The hero of the hip-hop generation.
Thumbs up, absolutely.
That's all right. The hip-hop generation? Does that just mean...
You said yourself that his slam poetry was inspiring to rappers in the future,
He is the godfather of rap, so I guess it's fine.
Yeah, right? So
I don't know. And the final tagline.
Uh-huh.
Dolomite, with his all-girl army of kung fu killers.
Yeah! Double thumbs up!
Which is pretty great.
Fuck yeah!
Okay, that line was actually pretty good. The other ones were terrible, but that one was pretty good.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, listeners. This is Bob from Bob's Short Story Hour, a podcast that features an eclectic array of short story recitations from both classic and contemporary authors, as well as occasional interviews and discussions about both. You can learn more by visiting us at bobsshortstoryhour.com or find us anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good night.
Let's remake this one.
All right, let's remake this.
This shouldn't be remade, but we're going to remake it.
Well, you could do it with modern twists, you know? The technological era can definitely add a twist or two, you know?
That's true. I definitely want to make this in the style of a 70s movie, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. Oh, you could update it a little bit. I don't know. There is a movie from 2009 that parodies this. It's called Black Dynamite.
Ah, yeah. Didn't we watch Black Dynamite?
No, it came out in 2009. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I think I might have seen it at some point. I don't know.
It looks good. It's just a direct parody of most black
exploitation
movies
from
the 70s.
No, but I think Black Dynamite is literally a superhero, though. Like, he literally has superpowers.
Black Dynamite. There's Black Lightning.
No, I mean Black Dynamite. Black Lightning has lightning powers. No, I mean Black Dynamite's, like, super strong and bulletproof.
Right, okay.
Like, generic superpower.
Well, in terms of a remake, the first thing that I want to do is I know who I want to direct this.
Yeah, no, now here's the important bit. We can't use the actors in the behind-the-scenes movie, right?
Well, they're all too old now anyway.
Yeah. I'm just saying we've got to be careful.
That's a good point. We can't
We've got to be careful about that.
We can't have Eddie Murphy play Dolomite.
He's already done it. Yeah.
And they already reshot most of that movie.
Unless he was really good in that role. Then we might think about it.
That's the best thing he's done since, like, Shrek. Yeah, he was great in that movie.
That's funny.
He was so funny in that.
Do you want to bring it back then?
No.
All right, there you go.
But the director, I think, should be a guy called Boots Riley.
Boots Riley?
Who's a great director. He made a movie called Sorry to Bother You, which is a comedy about a African-American guy who gets a job at a call center because he's got a really good white voice.
Oh,
whenever he answers the telephone, he's got a good white voice.
That's
so
funny.
He gets the most money.
He earns
the company the most.
That's really funny.
That was a very funny movie. I really enjoyed that. So I think that director would do a good job.
That reminds me, I wanted to see that one about there was the black guy who talks with the KKK.
Oh, Black Klansman.
Yeah, Black Klansman.
That
movie's
great
that one.
As well.
Yeah, have you seen that one?
Yeah.
That one looks really good.
Oh, we could get, that's John David Washington, who is the main character in that. He could play the FBI guy, honestly.
Yeah. I'm down for that.
He's in Tenet as well.
I was thinking Denzel Washington for that one, actually.
For the main guy? He's a bit old, though.
No, not for the main guy. For the cop or something like that. Because you could have a bit more of an older guy for that role.
He always plays corrupt cops, too.
So it
would be good to kind of put a spin on that.
Yeah. Maybe I was thinking main character... Jamie Foxx.
I was thinking Jamie Foxx as well.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx, he's really popular at the moment, and he's really good.
He also stars in
Django.
Yeah.
And in Django, he's amazing.
He is good. He's very funny. And I think, I want to double check how old Ruby Ray Moore was when he made Dolomite. He would have been...
I think Jamie Foxx is a little older, but he's not too old.
Jamie Foxx
is
like 55. I think Ray Moore would have been about 50-something, mid-40s when he was doing it. I think Jamie Foxx could definitely do it.
There you go. Boom.
I was thinking Jamie Foxx or, like, maybe Donald Glover.
Yeah. Who's the guy who hangs out with The Rock all the time?
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin Hart. We need Kevin Hart in this
He's
got
to be in it. He can be the Reverend.
Yeah, oh! Kevin Hart as the Reverend is very funny. I was thinking of him as Willie Green.
Oh, he could do Willie Green.
Yeah, Willie
really
Green
well.
Is a. But he's actually really funny as the Reverend. Being like super holy, but then banging chicks behind the back is also really funny.
That's right. I feel like we need Kevin Hart in a role where he's not going to be too annoying.
No.
He can very easily be annoying. Like, have that fucking. The I don't know if you saw it, but the trailer for the Borderlands movie.
Oh my god. Yeah.
He looks annoying in that one.
I have pretty little interest in that, funnily enough. But I think either the Reverend or Willie Green is good roles for him. Because,
I think so.
Because the Reverend is good because he can be all serious and holy, and then he can be, like, very silly.
Yeah.
You can have that two sides. Or he's Willie Green, where he can be really annoying, but then he dies. So it's satisfying when he dies, right? So you've got two good roles for him there.
That's true.
Well, you can see he's a very diverse actor.
That's true. I think maybe for Willie Green, though, we could go for John Boyega.
John Boyega?
He's got a good... Like,
he's
I think he'd be a good bad guy.
Yeah, I like him in a lot
of stuff, and I think he could do well in that role. If we want Kevin Hart as the Reverend.
Yeah.
And plus, he just doesn't, like, just ever since Star Wars, he hasn't done much.
No.
He doesn't do much since Star Wars.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. He kind of got shafted with Star Wars,
unfortunately. He really did.
Unfortunately. Star Wars shafted all the actors and stuff who were involved with that. I feel bad for them.
Episode 9, man, it was fucking terrible. I don't know what to say. Episode 8's great, though. I love The Last Jedi.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
But I think John Boyega, like, he's, like, the younger... Because then we can have the relationship of, like, Dolomite maybe could have been Willie Green's mentor before he went to jail. You know what I mean? I think that could be good.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that.
An FBI agent, you were saying Denzel... Ice Cube, though.
Oh.
Ice Cube,
No,
though.
You can't say that, Sergio. Ice Cube's my weakness.
We got to have Ice Cube in this.
We do have to have Ice Cube in this. And Ice Cube is my favorite family-friendly movie star.
I think Ice Cube... As the FBI agent.
Oh, that's really good.
I think
good.
That's good, though, isn't it?
Damn it, Sandro, you're right.
That's better
it.
Than everything we've mentioned.
Yeah, okay.
We got to go for it. I don't know who else is... What other characters we could
Well,
put
we've got
in.
The mayor, and we know who
that's
the mayor's going to be. That's going to be Danny DeVito. You know.
We don't... These are all men.
Well, there's Queen Bee. So you could do Queen Bee.
Beyonce.
I was about to say...
You know who would do it? She was in The Mandalorian alongside Jack Black. Lizzo. Yeah.
Lizzo.
I don't know if we like Lizzo anymore, though. I think she went to court for harassment.
Yeah.
I don't know if we like Lizzo.
Yeah, I don't know if Lizzo's great.
She's not a great actor, but she's very
Goldberg
funny.
Doesn't do anything
She was in Star Trek Picard for a second.
Oh, really?
It was
there you
the
go.
Worst thing.
Oof.
I'm never watching that show. I hate it.
Whoa.
It's bad.
They
ruined Picard. They gave him backstory. Ugh.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like a lot of things don't give people backstory.
No.
Because it's going to be worse than what you imagined. That's what they did to Darth Vader.
That's true.
And everyone
hated that.
Do you
know what Star Trek Picard's about?
No, I haven't watched it.
Picard's like, I'm old and I'm retired, but I'm going to get back into the game, but I'm not going to be a captain. I'm going to be a vigilante with my crew of friends.
What?
And I'm a vigilante and I'm fighting the Borg. And 7 of 9 from Voyager is here. That's a good part.
That's pretty good.
And in season 3, every character from Next Gen's back. Apparently it's good.
Yeah.
But he's I'm Picard and I'm sad because my mum killed herself and I'm traumatized.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched any new Star Trek, like anything.
Just watch Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks. That's the good one. Ignore everything else.
Yeah. I've heard good things. I did listen to Rob's podcast about that. And I was like, that actually sounds pretty fun. I kind of want to jump into that.
Yeah.
But instead, I just listened to Rob's podcast.
Just Rob talk about it. Subspace Radio.
Yes, Subspace Radio. That's it. Go listen to that. It's a better podcast than this one.
You know what? I think Whoopi Goldberg would do it.
If yeah, you're
Danny
you're
DeVito
down for,
was in this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We do just like a classic actors.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely old, but I think for specifically one, the mayor role and the like Queen Bee role, mm-hmm. I think Whoopi Goldberg can do it sort of thing. You know?
I agree. I think that's a pretty good cast for Jamie yeah. Foxx's Dolomite remake.
Yeah.
Is it? We make it bad on purpose, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Have a couple of boom mics in there as an homage.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, every scene there's a boom mic.
Fuck.
No, but hear me out. Every scene there's a boom mic, but we hide them. So some boom mics are obvious and some are not. And therefore, you can have, like, a game of try and find the boom mic in every scene.
Well, then it would be like the TV show Haunting of Hill House, where in the background of every scene, there's a ghost.
Yeah.
Except in our version,
yes.
It's a boom mic.
So, like, in one scene, there's, like, a flower pot, and
yeah.
one of the flowers is a boom mic.
I like
you know?
This idea a lot. This is really fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is the entire episode. Thank you so much for listening, as always. Zach, what should people do if they like the show?
Well... if you like the show and listening on YouTube, you can leave a comment about how this isn't the movie.
Ask where the movie is.
Yeah, where that movie at?
Where's the movie?
If you're on other podcasting devices, you can leave a nice comment, or you can leave a mean comment.
Yeah, or you could ask where the movie is.
Where's the movie?
You could do that.
Why are you asking to watch the movie on, you know,
Apple Podcasts?
We don't know.
It's not there because of copyright.
Yeah, leave a rating. You can check us out on Spotify. Go to our Patreon.
Oh my god, patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodie, Zach. Now, you can sign up for $1.
Yes. $1 you do.
Get early episodes, ad-free episodes.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But Zach, if you want to sign up for the bonus episodes...
bonus episodes?
We've got to admit something.
Oh no.
The last 2 weeks, and at the end of the last bonus episode, we said, hey, the next bonus episode is going to be... the Donnie Darko sequel.
Yeah, of course it is.
S. Darko.
We've done the first Donnie Darko, yeah. So now we're going to do the second. It makes sense, Sandro.
And we are going to do it.
What
we're
do you
not going to do it in March, though.
What?
We're moving it to
April. What's all this?
We're moving the Donnie Darko sequel to April because, Zach, by popular demand...
What do you mean popular demand?
In March.
I don't like where this is going.
We're heading out to the cinema...
The cinema?
And we're reviewing Madame Web.
Oh, no! Oh, fuck. What did you do? Why did you let the Patreons decide anything?
One of our Patreons mentioned that we should do it, and I said, you know what? This is a funny idea.
Oh, my God, no.
So, out next week, we're gonna see Madame Web. I already was going to go see it with one of my friends, so...
Yep, no, that's fair.
It works out.
Last time for Morbius, how many times did I see Morbius?
When you saw Morbius more than once?
I did.
It's not even a so bad it's good movie.
No, it's just fine.
No.
I watched it once, and then I did a watch party with friends where we drank heavily, and it was great.
It's a funny movie.
Yeah. So I think we were planning to do another watch party for Madame Web.
So you're gonna have to see Madame Web twice.
Yeah, I might need to see Madame Web twice.
Alright. Well, you're more than welcome to join us next Sunday when we go see it.
I'm excited.
But
I'm hyped.
Fuck, yeah, that's the next Patreon episode.
Fuck, wait. Oh no, we're doing this for Patreon.
I don't even
want
to, because I feel like all the criticism and all of the memes for Madame Web are just misogynistic, man. So,
yeah, you're right, Sandra. I think this is actually a good movie, and all the critics are wrong.
It's definitely a bad movie, but I want to actually do a comedy review for it where we aren't misogynistic film bros.
Oh, I see.
That's right.
Well, the problem is, I was going to go into those completely pasted, so, like,
it's fair.
I'm going to have to change that so I can actually remember, like, a quarter of the movie.
Sure. And Dune 2 out is out right now.
Oh,
like,
yes. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
There's so many better movies to see, but we're going to go see Madame Web.
Yep, that's true.
Know. Dune 2 is pretty good, though. I really agree.
Yeah. I saw it yesterday,
I loved it. I had
a great time.
I thought it was a top-notch movie.
Absolutely.
And all the changes to the book were good.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Go back and have a listen to our David Lynch review, though.
Ooh,
the Dune movie.
The superior version.
Yeah.
In ways.
According to a random Facebook group, I mean, yes, actually, it's superior. But Zach, you got to pick the next episode. 1976 is where we're traveling to.
That's a good choice.
You got a whole bunch of options. I'm going to let you open your phone and check what those options are, while mentioning the first option is a movie called Madam Kitty.
Ooh, my.
Kitty runs a brothel in Nazi Germany.
Where, oh, what for fuck's sake? Fuck?
Not again.
What?
It's another Nazi exploitation movie. God damn it. We're not doing that one. Don't pick that one.
You got another Clint Eastwood movies, The Outlaws.
The Outlaws?
Okay. Josie Wales.
Mm-hmm.
That one looks good.
Oh, King Kong?
Yeah, or King Kong. We like some King Kong.
That's right.
You got Silver Streak.
I don't know what that is.
That one stars Willy Wonka guy. We did
last week.
Yeah. What's he called?
Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder. Oh, you got John Carpenter's first movie, Assault on Precinct 13, which is about an assault at a police station, but apparently it's shot like a zombie movie.
It's
really interesting.
There you go.
Really interesting.
What about The Eagle Has Landed?
I've heard of that.
During World War II, the Nazi... Oh, fuck.
For fuck's sake. What about Logan's Run? I've always wanted to watch Logan's Run.
Yeah, Logan's Run. That'd be good.
I might just watch it, honestly.
Yeah, that's fair. I was going to mention Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that Rocky's classic Rocky. Yeah, I like Rocky.
Fun.
Rocky's a good movie.
Carrie, the first Stephen King movie. Taxi Driver, which is just the movie Joker, but... Yeah, it's not Joker.
That's true. Yeah, that's pretty great.
What else is here?
The Pink Panther strikes again.
Oh my god, he's striking again. Freaky Friday, a mother and daughter, they switch bodies.
Ooh,
that's fun. The original version of that.
No, but this all sounds garbage. And also half of it was Nazi-sploitation.
There's a lot of Nazi-sploitation.
Yeah, as it turns out.
A lesbian prison movie.
No, but Sandro, I know what we're doing.
What are we doing?
I know this one because I have read the books.
You've read the fucking books?
Yes, and it's not the Dune movie.
Oh.
No, I know. No,
it's not Game of Thrones?
I haven't read Game of Thrones.
Definitely.
I've read like 3 books.
You've read 3 books. You've read Dune?
Yep.
Wheel of Time.
Oh, that's true.
What's the third one?
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
The Hobbit, 20 times, because you're a nerd.
Oh, that's true. I did like The Hobbit. Not the movies, though. That ruined cinema.
Fuck them.
Cinema.
Fuck those films. They wrecked your home country.
It's true. Which is crazy. But, more importantly, I've read the comic book.
Ooh.
Asterix and Obelix.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Have you read the old Asterix and Obelix comics before?
Back in my childhood, I would honestly give you a dollar if you ever found me without an Asterix or a Tintin book in my
backpack. A whole dollar back in the day? That was worth like $1 billion.
I was always reading Asterix and Tintin.
That was like the one time that I used the library was I'd go in and I'd get comic books. I'd get Garfield and Asterix and Obelix.
That's right, actually. I always had a Garfield, a Tintin, or an Asterix in my backpack.
You gotta get that Garf on, you know?
Or a Fantastic Four.
Ooh,
I loved my Fantastic Four.
It was that or Transformer VHS tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, that's my jam.
That's the good stuff.
Are you picking
an Asterix movie?
Yes, I'm picking the 12 Tasks of Asterix.
We did Hercules, so that's...
And I actually have read the comic book behind this specific movie. So.
Well, that's interesting because I'm looking it up now, and this is the first Asterix movie to be not based on a comic book.
Yes.
So I think you've read the comic book that's based off the movie.
Correct.
How about that? That's crazy.
Yes. Which is just wild.
Yeah.
So I've done the reverse on this one.
You have done the reverse.
Yeah, but I'd love to do that. I think that'd be good fun, you know. I love Asterix, Obelix, and Dogmatix, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're good boys.
And I don't think I've read an Asterix comics in well over 15 years at this point.
Yeah. There's probably quite a few listeners out there who just don't know what they are, so...
Really?
Yeah, wow. I suspect so.
Well,
I'm pretty sure I talked with my roommates and like half of them didn't know what it was.
What the fuck?
I know.
And Asterix is like, they're still making Asterix movies.
Some of them were born after 2000.
Oh, that's rank.
I know. They're like children. I'm living with like 3-year-olds.
They're like 24 years old as well. Like, what the fuck? That's disgusting.
Gross.
If you are listening and you're born after the year 2000...
Take out your pacifier and go get a job.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah. Stop eating avocado toast.
Stop eating avocado toast. That's a very local reference. Anyway, all right, next week, The 12 Tasks of Asterix. The animation style looks just like the comic. That's great.
Yeah.
That's it looks cool.
It looked good. It stood out. I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. Let's do that.
Why not? Man, I think that's the first animated film we've done in this.
It might be in French, though.
Let me check.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be all right.
Oh, there is an English dub.
Oh, there we go. We'll see if we can have a look at that.
Hell yeah. I've never seen an Asterix movie, actually.
Oh, really?
I know that there's heaps of them, but, like, most of them are live action.
Yeah.
And I can't picture Asterix and Obelix as live action people.
Yeah, I think there's a new Netflix live action version.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks really bad.
Okay.
Maybe I'll check that one out, because I think there's this, like, movies before this movie, right?
Yeah, it seems to be the third Asterix movie.
But maybe instead I'll watch the live-action Netflix.
The new one? Why not? Check that out. That'd be pretty funny, actually.
That would be funny.
All right, next week, 12 Tasks of Asterix. And Zach, I think you chose well this week.
Hey, Sandro.
Yes?
I think you chose well this episode.
Well, we have been doing these without any break in between, so...
That's true.
Technically, it's all 1 week for us.
Yeah, no, it's like 20 seconds. It's like back-to-back hours. Can I get like a nap or like just like a 20-minute crash or something?
Okay.
Before we... Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yep. It's okay?
Yep.
All right, well, it's a busy street around here. I guess I'll just, like, lie down on this bench here.
Sounds good, yes. Oh. This regular bench. Lie down on this regular bench.
I'm lying down, but why did you call it, like, a regular bench? That was very suspicious.
Kablam! It's locked you in! It was actually... God. A saw trap.
Oh my god, why have you turned into saw? Jesus Christ.
I am Jigsaw, this is true.
Oh, what the fuck, Sandro?
And now with you captured we're going to the next year. Here we go. Get ready to time travel, Zach.
Oh,
I'm so evil.